We've been in the book of Hebrews now for a year. We're concluding that as we look at the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. For 10 years now, I've done that just about every Christmas, talking about the precious names of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His names are many faceted. They are multiple names, not just one name. The angel came to Joseph and said, "You shall call His name Jesus." But then two verses later, He said, "And He shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. Then Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "And for unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So there's lots of names. And as a matter of fact, I have a list on our website of 640 names for Jesus Christ in the Bible. Elmer Towns has a wonderful book, and he says there are over 1,000. Well, however many you find, I would like to encourage you to take the name of Jesus with you. Throughout the coming year, begin now to prepare and say, "Lord, show me one of your names that will be most precious to me during 2010. And then take that name every day of the year and claim it as your own. I've been working on that. I mentioned to you a couple weeks back that one of the names the Lord prompted me for, I'd be praying over. And that was confirmed this week, that the Lord is my song. That's going to be my year's theme of the name of Jesus. The Lord is my song. You do whatever God puts in your heart. As we're looking at these topics in Hebrews, we have covered seven names in the first messages in chapter 1. Seven names of the exalted Lord Jesus Christ. We can slide that slide over there. Just jump it forward. There we go. Heir of all things, maker of worlds, brightness of His glory, express image of His person, upholder of all things, purger of our sins, and the changeless one. As we look at the end of our series, we're looking at another seven. And these are the seven we will be preaching, have already preached one, and will preach these toward the end of the year. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the anchor of our soul, the author and finisher of our faith, the helper in times of trouble, the great shepherd, and the great high priest. All of these things are so important for us. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, there are not just 14, but there are 42 names for Jesus Christ. I challenge you, get in there and discover the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Pastor Mark says I'm supposed to stand back here because the light hits me better. So if I go back here and then walk in front, maybe that would be better. There we go. Okay, like this. I can just do my dance around. How's that down in core? Good for you? All right, we're going to go ahead, whether I go dim on you or not, just keep focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have excellent names. We're looking at the precious names of the Lord Jesus. The name that we have chosen for this morning is Captain of Our Salvation. The Captain of Our Salvation in the Greek really is a very specific word that means Prince, the head of all things, the Captain, the head of all of it. Some of our translators, for instance, in NIV, New International Version, have decided to call that Author of Salvation. That is not the best translation. It's more of a paraphrase so we can understand it. I would like to maintain Captain of Our Salvation because that's what the writer is intending here. That is the translation in both two passages in the book of Acts that call Jesus the Prince, use this very word, and call Him the Captain of our salvation. So look with me to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 as we look at the Captain of our salvation. "For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." This morning, I want you to look at that verse, and I want you to get the gist that's there. Throughout the book of Hebrews, there are these little glimmers of spotlights on the name of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, the spotlight is on the captain of our salvation. As I mentioned, the word means the prince, the one who is head over all. It is a word that's significant. There are other words that are used for the translation author. They are not used here, but this one is specifying that he is the head, the archegos in the Greek, archegos, that is, he is the head one, the prince and the captain. And I want to talk about this morning. But by way of introduction, I want to do something that's pastoral. I want to share with you a concern I have. As I prayed through this message, one of the concerns that I have as I pray is I pray for you. I pray for you in my mind as I see you. I memorize your faces. Yes, I have a photographic memory. It's usually out of film. But I remember your faces, and I ask the Lord to prompt me who to pray for. As I was praying through this message, my heart became extremely burdened, not just for one or two, but for the great mass of people that come here, both for the 9 o'clock service and the 10:45 service. I am concerned because we live in a culture that wants to squeeze us into its mold. And there is an erosion that takes place in our minds and our hearts when we see the Word of God through the grid of our culture. We miss some of the facts and some of the import of what God wanted to communicate to us. Take the word captain, for instance. What do we think of when we say captain? When I played sandlot baseball and we picked up teams, we always wanted to have a captain. Somebody had to be in charge. And so we'd go through that whole business of choosing somebody. And then if we didn't like them a little later in the game, we kicked them off and got a new captain. That's kind of the American democracy. It's whatever you want is the guy that's head over you. And if he doesn't please you, get rid of him, get somebody else. There's another term of captain, and that is in the military. A captain fits between the first lieutenant and a major, which means he's not very high in the echelons of authority. So if we look at Scripture through that grid, we're saying captain of our salvation, he's a mid-level commander. And that's not the purpose of this either. When God says Jesus Christ is our captain, he means he's our commander-in-chief. Let me give you an illustration that came across my desk this week, and I think you'll appreciate it. Many of you have already know it if you're on Facebook. Pastor Dave and Pam Prentice have been working to train their children, and of course they've got live wires. Tyler and Eli are a handful. I mean, really a handful. And it's been very difficult to discipline them. This past week they got in a big argument over the car seats. They're two car seats. They're exactly alike. But Eli wanted the other one. And so there was a big blow-up in their family, and they said they tried everything, couldn't get through. So finally, Pam says, then you're going to get a spanking. And Eli said, I'm just too upset to even argue with. So they gave him a spanking. Eli looked up at his mom, and he said, Mom, that didn't work. Try something else. Captain. Who's the captain here? We have this American democracy that says, don't tell me what to do. And that kind of skews our view of Scripture when we start thinking of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ over us. This passage is not about Jesus being a mid-level commander. It's about Jesus Christ being Lord. When we speak the name of Jesus, we should not just say His name, Jesus. Remember, it's a multifaceted name, far beyond just the local name, Jesus. But we should often call Him Lord Jesus, or the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to have you do that with me. Say, Lord Jesus Christ. One, two, three.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, you do that so mildly, it's almost, you'd appreciate this, Mark, they're like a choir. I want you to do it louder, though, because the Scripture says one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So I want you to say it with a little bit of firmness and belief that He is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, would you make it personal? My Lord Jesus Christ. Now do it on your own. There's something in the believer that we need to have embedded in us that we love to say that. We love to bow to the authority of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said in one of His first sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, He said, many will come to Me in that day of judgment and they'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? And He says, depart from Me, I never knew you. And then He follows and says, why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you? You see, there's a danger in our culture of thinking that being saved is just calling Jesus Savior. When God wants to take us beyond just Savior and bring Him into Lordship over our lives, that Jesus is the King. Jesus is the Captain of our salvation. He is the highest authority over us and the one to whom we never say no. Christianity is not a democracy that we can choose what we're going to say yes to and what we're going to say no to when our commander gives it to us. There are three truths I want to point out concerning this title, Captain of Our Salvation. The first one is that the captain is the master commander. He is the sovereign master over the ship. Now, we don't live in a shipping society anymore, so ships are hard for us to understand, but I think it's the easiest way for us to get a handle on this title, Captain. I love Star Trek. And so the good ship Enterprise is run by Captain Jean-Luc Picard. And I love the way he commands the ship because he is the boss. Everybody on that ship knows when the commander says, do it, do it. When he says, thrusters forward, engage. It's time to engage. When he says, jettison the warp core, then you better jettison the warp core. Because he's the master. He is the commander. He is the sovereign master of the ship. What he says goes. He is the boss. We need to understand this with the term the captain of our salvation. That Jesus Christ is the commander-in-chief. He is the master commander over us individually and corporately. There are over 185 direct commands from the Lord Jesus Christ to each of us in the Gospels. 185 direct commands. I wonder how many of us could even list 10. And I don't mean the Ten Commandments. Many of us have become so passive in our following of our master commander that we don't even listen carefully to what he says. And we wonder why our ship gets in trouble. We wonder why we are sinking. If he is captain of our salvation, then he is the master and commander of our ship, this life. The life of Dick LaFountain belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I no longer own me. God owns me through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my master and my commander. Can you say amen to that? Jesus Christ is to be the master and commander of every one of us. Not just the Savior, but He is to be the Lord of everything in our lives. And as such, He will be in His rightful place. And yet in our society, over and over again, we hear that emphasis on humanism, on you are the master. I'm going to read you a poem that's often used in graduation ceremonies and then applauded. It's called Invictus. The title is Latin for unconquered. It's by William Ernest Henley. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. And in graduations, when that's read, there is thunderous applause, even standing ovations. And the speaker encourages young people to be the master of their soul, to be the captain of their own destiny. It ought to grieve our hearts. That man was not a man of God. He was a man of the world and a man of atheism, agnosticism. I think it's worthy that one pastor wisely wrote a poem to counter Invictus. I wanted to share that with you because I think it's significant. He goes like this. The title is "The Captain's, the Soul's Captain." Art thou in truth then what of him who bought thee with his blood, who plunged into devouring seas and snatched thee from the flood, who bore for all our fallen race what none but him could bear, that God who died that man might live and endless glory share? Of what avail thy vaunted strength apart from his vast might? Pray that this light may pierce the gloom, that thou mayest see aright. Men are as bubbles on the wave, as leaves upon the tree. Thou, captain of thy soul, forsooth, who gave that place to thee? Free will is thine, free agency, to wield for right or wrong. But thou must answer unto him to whom all souls belong. Bend to the dust that head unbowed, small part of life's great whole, and see in him and him alone the captain of thy soul. Woo! Praise the Lord! You ought to give an ovation. That is what we ought to be hearing at graduations. That is what we ought to have embedded on our hearts as men and women of God. We are not the masters of our soul. We are not the owners of our destiny. We are men and women that follow Jesus Christ as the captain of our soul. He is the one who is in charge of us, and so it ever shall be. The second thing I would point out concerning this captain of our soul is that a captain charts the course. I would go a little bit further. The captain steers the ship. Not only does he chart the course, but he has his hand on the helm. He is the one responsible for the destiny of that ship and where it is going and how it's going to get there. And so he puts his hand upon the wheel and he guides it all the way. As a child, there was a painting in my grandmother's dining room of this picture of Jesus behind a pilot. And there having his hands on the pilot's shoulder and the young man's hands on the wheel. They're in a storm. The ship is being battered. But the picture is that Jesus is behind and guiding him through the storm. I saw a bumper sticker. I've seen a lot of these bumper stickers. And it says, "God is my co-pilot." My friend, I want you to know God is not your co-pilot. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, Jesus Christ is your pilot. He's got his hand upon the wheel. He's got his hand upon you to remind you that you're involved in this. But he is the one who is in control of that ship. He is the master commander. And he is behind you and over you and in you and through you and above you and beneath you. And he guides you as you drive this ship. When my son was about 9 years old, it was about time for him to learn to drive. And so I let him have command of the car. We lived at on a farm and there was a long driveway, so I had a little chance to experiment off the road. And so I drove him down the highway, down the driveway, and I told him how to drive the car. He couldn't reach the pedals. He couldn't reach the gas pedal or the brake pedal. So I did that for him, and I sat him on my lap, and I instructed him. Of course, Andrew, being the stubborn kid that he is, says, "Dad, I could do it myself." Well, sure you could do it yourself, but as the guiding principle behind him, I had my hand upon the wheel, a little finger underneath the steering wheel. And Andrew began, and he said, "Go, push down, Dad, go." And so I started down the path, and pretty soon he goes, "This way." And he wants to go out in the grass, out in the field. And I swerve it back, and he says, "Dad, stop, I'm driving." And then he'll drive a little further and off to the left, out into the ditch. And I pull it back on, Dad, stop it. Leave it alone. And we progressed as we went on. Andrew got more and more upset. Then he saw that my hand all the time was on that steering wheel. And he really got mad. He said, Dad, leave it alone. I want to drive. And I saw in him the attitude of us all. When our Savior is the captain of our soul, the captain of our salvation, the master and commander of our ship, we want to be in control. My friends, it's time for us to lose control. That goes against the grain of all our society. I don't mean losing control and going out and shooting people, but I mean losing control over the steering wheel of your life and letting God guide you through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the master commander. He has every right to lead you where He wants you to go. And a believer needs to come to the place in his life where he says, Lord, I surrender the wheel to You. I give up my rights and I let You tell me where to go and show me what to do and guide me safely through the storms of my life. These are things that every believer needs to know and understand and apply to his heart and life. There's an old hymn that I wanted to share with you. It's called Day by Day. And there's one particular verse that I thought was significant in you, for you and for me. The first one is, Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowments, I have no cause for worry or for fear. And then verse 2 says, the protection of His child and treasure is a charge that on Himself He laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me He made. I think that's significant that God says, I have made a pledge to myself to keep you from falling and present you faultless before my eternal throne. That is a pledge that He has made to us and to Himself, that He will guide us through the storms of life and keep us in all our ways. Which leads into the third principle of this truth. He is the captain of our salvation. And that is, as captain of our salvation, He protects the ship. The captain of our salvation is Himself in charge of the ship, that it will not sink. And at all costs, He is in charge to make sure that it gets to its desired haven. We've all heard the story of the Titanic, and that eventful day, April 15, 1912, when a ship that was declared to be unsinkable hit an iceberg and went down within a few hours. And the terrible loss of life, over 2,000 souls on that ship, only 710 were saved. They had 20 lifeboats for all of those people. And many of those lifeboats were half filled, some with just a few people, and others overcrowded with 50 or more. It is a tragic story. As I spent time this week looking at that story, and specifically looking at the captain and his responsibility for that ship, I was appalled. I was shocked. And yet reminded how human we are. The captain of the Titanic was about to retire. This was his last cruise. He was going to take this new ship, the Titanic, over the ocean to New York City. And then he was going to retire. In an interview with him, he bragged about his own shipmanship, his own ability on the seas. And he said, in all my years at sea, I have never floundered. I have never had a ship that was crashed or a ship that sunk. I have never even had dangers that were so severe that I thought there would be loss. And then he went on to say, I doubt that I can even conceive of a scenario in which a ship that I captain would ever sink or be lost. Dangerous thing to say. 4 days into that trip, the captain was in charge of that ship and the care of all those passengers. And he became lax and lazy. He turned it into a speed race rather than a cruise across the ocean. He instructed that all the boilers should be lit and that they should move at the highest rate of speed available for the Titanic, even though he knew that they were moving through ice fields. In fact, the stories that are told by the people that survived the Titanic said they were on the ship and on the decks until about 10:30 that night, and all of them were watching the ice fields, and they were looking at the icebergs, some of them 500 feet tall. And they were astounded by the dangers that were around them. But this captain was not astounded. He continued at that high rate of speed and went to bed. And shortly after 12 o'clock, a gong sounded warning of an iceberg. And the helmsman, who happened to be at the steering wheel, had but 5 seconds, he said, to move the wheel and try to move the ship out of its way. The Titanic hit the iceberg and ripped open the side of the ship. The captain heard this and came on board. He did everything in his power after the fact to protect the ship. But all was lost. Stories are told of this Captain Edward Smith and how he stood on deck giving orders as though it were an average day at sea, telling this man to go here and that man to go there. But just before the ship went under, it tilted up upright. And they said one of the last persons they saw jump into the ocean was the captain. And Captain Edward Smith dove into the waters, and those that were in the life rafts into the boat said they watched him swim for 20 minutes looking for survivors. He carried one little infant in his arms up to one of those boats and lifted the baby to them to safety, but the baby had already died. They urged him to come into the boat with them and be saved, and he said, No, there is a little flotation over here, and I will hold on to that until help comes. And that's the last they ever heard of him. What most of us don't hear in that story is the great heroism of another captain. And that was the captain of the ship that made the rescue. He heard the warning over the telegraph and immediately sounded the alarm throughout his whole ship. He summoned everyone, including passengers, to ready themselves to take on board as many as 2,000 passengers in this rescue attempt. They were 56 miles away. When that alarm sounded, they went with all haste and all steam, pulled forward and moved. And within 2.5 hours, they arrived at the scene. Again, they saw the icebergs. They said, we were almost on top of the icebergs when the captain ordered that the steamship should be put to a halt and go slowly through the bergs. The captain himself took the helm of the ship when he realized the dangers. And he drove the ship through those mean waters, and the people on the ship said it was amazing to see him navigate through those icebergs up to the littlest of boats and stop the ship on a dime and pick up the passengers that survived. Here is a captain who said, this ship is my responsibility, and all of these passengers are my responsibility, and I will do everything to save them. And he did. Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. We are all in a ship. And I ask you this morning, is your ship sinking? Is yours a ship that is at danger? Can you move that slide, please? Every one of our lives faces difficulties and icebergs and currents and waves and seas and storms. And all the things that will assault us. But when Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation, we can weather the storm. It's when we refuse to heed His commands and when we try to steer the ship ourselves without His help and without His command that we will most certainly sink and perish. 2 questions I have for you this morning in closing. Who is the master of your fate? And who is the captain of your soul? Unfortunately for many believers, Jesus Christ is not the captain. Or we can say He is, but in actuality, they are running the show of their lives. They are steering the ships. They are going the speed that they want. They are not following the commander at all. Every one of us as Christians have confessed Jesus Christ as our Savior, have we not? If you are a born-again Christian, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have no doubts about that, just raise your hand for a moment. Let me say it again because some of you were sleeping. If you're a born-again believer, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you're sure about that, raise your hand. Hold it up for a moment. Don't be ashamed. You're sure about that. Put your hand down. I thank God for your hands. And I was not looking for people that didn't raise their hand. I want to talk to you that did raise your hand. The question is He not only your Savior, but is He your Lord? Is He the captain, the master commander of your life? Or are you doing it your way? Unfortunately, that was one of the last songs that Elvis Presley ever sang. I did it my way. I remember a day many years ago now when I came to the end of myself in a hospital bed and the doctor said, you may not survive. You may not get out of bed because you could die. And on that hospital bed, I realized I was struggling to do things my way and I was frustrated. My life wasn't going the way it should, the way I planned, the way that God had intended. And I remember that night so lonely in a hospital bed that I cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I can't steer my ship. I can't do what You asked me to do. I need You to take charge of my life. And I said, Lord Jesus, You're my Savior. And from this day forward, You are my Lord. I do no longer own myself. I am sold out to You. You are my captain. You are my king. I obey You and You only. And you know, that began a transformation in my life that lasted until today and continues until the day Jesus comes. Because I don't own my life anymore. I'm not bragging about that. That's what every Christian ought to experience. Coming to the place where Jesus is not just your Savior. He's your captain. He's your Lord. In the little booklet, My Heart, Christ's Home, we give that out to all new believers. It's available in our office if you need one. Or you can pick it up on the website. That little booklet talks about our lives having many different rooms. And each room, Jesus wants to come in and be Lord of that room. He wants to be the captain to run that ship for you. The author of the book describes that of Jesus coming into every room. And finally, when He gets to the last room, He says, Lord, this is tiring. I'm exhausted. I don't know what to do. Isn't there an easier way for me to deal with this house? Could I turn it over to You? And Jesus said, yes, You can. That would be the best way. And that is to turn the title over to Me and surrender the keys to every part of your life. And so the author said, I did that. I wrote my name on the title and gave it over to Jesus. And from that day forward, Jesus owned my life. He had the keys to every room. He was the commander of my soul. My friend, God wants to be the commander of your soul today, not just your Savior. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, He wants you to take Him as the captain of your soul. Let's pray. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, both upstairs and down in core, nobody needs to be looking at anybody else. This is about you and your Savior. And the question is your Savior your Lord? Is Jesus Christ the Lord of everything in your life? Does He own you lock, stock, and barrel? Do you have any rights left? Do you argue with Him and say, I don't want to do that? Or do you surrender completely to Him? The Lord is looking for people among us to say, I want Jesus to be my Lord and not just my Savior. So I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to You just as I am. I come to You with my broken ship and the cracks, and it's leaking. I feel sometimes like it's sinking. And I want to give You the ownership of this ship. I don't want to own it anymore. I invite You, Lord Jesus, to be the captain of my soul. Not just my Savior, but be my Lord. Be my master. Be my commander. And I am Your servant. Reign over me, Lord Jesus. And I ask You to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said, Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, I'd like to hear from you. Write me an email. Stop by the office and ask for one of the booklets and say, I prayed that prayer. I want Jesus to be the master of my life. And I encourage you as we close with a triumphant song, Reign Over Me. We sang it earlier. We're going to sing that because it's a song of triumph. Giving everything to Jesus is not a defeat. It's not a morbid time to say, oh, I had to give everything to Jesus this morning. I'm a miserable Christian now. No, when you give Him everything, you can be at rest. You can be happy. You can know He's in charge. And you can sing, Lord, reign in me. So we invite you to stand and sing with us, Lord, reign in me.